love to call you back just as soon as I can. Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
Greetings, the automatically deleted husband, and I know you're going to be shocked, but I got a postcard today from or to George. Yesterday was my dad's 103rd birthday. We have a photo of him, Jack and me, in 1993. I got to remember to put that up there. Anyway. It'd be great to have a more recent photo of you and your dad. Love, Dad. Yeah, you know, photo with father and son together. That'd be kind of neat. Oh, but more! Another postcard to George. Anyway. There's no higher spot between here and Texas than Big Frog Mountain. Please join me at the top on December 8th, 2003. Love, Dad. It's still my goal to be there at the top of Big Frog on December 8th. I was hoping to make my two-thirds point by my birthday, which is just over a week. I'm slightly behind, but, you know, just slightly. So a day of an extra 1,000 and I'll be fine or so. Something like that. I don't know. But anyway, but it doesn't matter because, you know, I still have many months. And my concern is I'm just getting there too quickly. My concern is getting there long before December 8th, but that's another issue. This weekend, my concerns are for my kids. See, I'm in my generation. My kids are in the next one. I know that's confusing. And when you look at history, one generation follows another, and so forth. And this happens over and over again. And, you know, that process of going from one generation is transpiring yet again. But, you know, it's kind of, where have I read this idea that there's no remembrance of former things? There's nothing new under the sun? Oh, who said that? Be Solomon, Ecclesiastes. But anyway, the thing that's I wonder about, because, you know, again, I remember, because I've done, you know, most of my study about where my mom and, you know, grew up, you know, the Third Reich in Germany in the 20s and 30s. And wondered so much, not as much about, oh, this battle and that battle and so forth, but the culture. Because, you know, what people thought, why did people follow in line like they did? Why was this charismatic figure such a draw? You know, because it's not just, because right now all we market is, oh, Hitler was a bad man. You know, there are a lot of people who say, well, you know, one, it's inflated because obviously he took a country that was being excessively chastised post-World War I and brought them to the point that they became quite a significant power. And the idea that they were the sole aggressor is questionable. And then, of course, you know, the issue about all these people who died, there is a strong evidence more people died because more civilians died at the hands of the Allies and the Russians or the Soviets than at the Germans. So, I mean, there's these kind of issues to wonder about. But again, it's to wonder about because I'm not sure. But of course, you know, I'm obviously a bad person because they even bring up the question. But then apply that to today. And, you know, obviously, Germany bounced back mostly. They are the dominant country again in Europe. But, you know, the thing that I've thought about is, I don't think you hardly hear it anymore, but you would hear it once in a while when I was younger, the idea that the sun never sets in the British Empire. Well, that was true a long time ago. The idea was that somewhere around the world was part of the British Empire in daylight, therefore the sun never sets, as you know. But clearly, that changed. You know, one of the big issues is India, because obviously that was perhaps population-wise, their biggest area. That was 1947, 8, 9, somewhere in that time frame when that relationship sort of dissolved. And of course, there was the issue with Pakistan at the time too, which anyway, a whole bunch of it. But so you see that change, and the dominant player of the world, that dominant country of the UK or Britain, isn't a dominant player at all anymore. They are a dominant player in, for example, the financial industry, the City of London, again, which is not London itself, but a City of London, which is within London, has a significant influence, but it's fragile. And the neighboring country that was also, very powerful, especially during the Napoleonic era, France, was one of the dominant players, and they're not anymore. So France and England are not the big, because it was mentioned, I heard it mentioned, why is the UK and France in the UN's, UN Security Council, whatever it is, why are they there and not India? And who else was mentioned? India? Countries like India, South Africa, Brazil, and so forth are rather significant players compared to France. It amazed me. Over the weekend, there was another protest, pseudo yellow vest kind of thing, over 1 million people. And what was the issue this time? The government wants to change the retirement age from 62 to 64. And, and again, there's a whole problem with this retirement system. There's very similar to the Social Security system here, because the objective there is to sever the relationship between one generation and another economically. It's not care and loving. It's to break those family ties, which is a foundation of communism. Make your allegiance to the state rather than your own family. But anyway, watching these things, the powers change, because the influence of the UN. Suggestion is it's shrinking. The influence of the West, NATO, the NATO alliance, and so forth, is shrinking. The influence of the U.S. dollar, the petrodollar, is shrinking rapidly. That's very rapidly. The tension with Saudi Arabia and the petrodollar is very strong, because that is one of the dominant things that keeps the petrodollar strong, and that's weakening significantly. Because obviously all the sanctions, we sanction Russia because of the war in Ukraine and so forth. So we're going to destroy their economy, and they're doing fine. Europe is having a lot of problems. Apparently not as bad as it may have been, because it's thus far a mild winter. We had that one several days that was really cold, but that apparently hasn't happened this year in Europe. So that's made it easier, but there are a lot of problems. And you'll see a lot of the things that used to be the premier stuff, like World Economic Forum, is suddenly becoming less significant. But who's picking up? BRICS is probably the most prominent. They've been around for a long time, but suddenly they're increasing in stature significantly. BRICS, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. And other countries are striving to join them, because unlike the NATO alliance, apparently the terms are not, you gotta, be in lockstep. No, it's more of an economic alliance, not like the NATO alliance where, you know, we have guns and knives kind of thing. And so the dynamics are changing. And what's that going to mean to my kids? Because the other thing I consider is, because obviously one of the things I'm pursuing is reconciliation. And the obvious example is the war in Ukraine. There is some suggestion that within the next few months, it may suddenly stop. Or, you know, because the Ukraine is going to collapse. The government in Ukraine may suddenly fall. Because they're having serious problems. The argument I've heard that I thought was interesting is there are a whole bunch of countries, Germany, Norway, US, I think France is part of it, and UK, saying, yes, we're going to provide you more arms, more tanks and whatnot, and some cases airplanes and whatnot, as soon as the other country does. So they're kind of passing the buck to each other, and no one's saying here. And the suggestion is nobody wants to do it anymore. They realize Ukraine has fallen apart, and they don't want to just simply send more arms and whatnot into the sinkhole. But if they say that, then they're going to look bad. They're going to be, and then Ukraine collapses. They're going to say, well, they collapsed because of that country. So what you do is you say, yes, we're going to play along as soon as you do. So everybody passed the buck, and Ukraine doesn't get their support, and their support, you know, it's kind of like, they say, yes, we're going to give you all these guns and bullets and all these kind of things and tanks and whatnot. At the rate of loss, the amount of stuff they're looking at giving them is going to last a week. You know, it's kind of like, they're collapsing, and it's the PR that is just amazing. And my concern is there's an underlying thing of the people. Because the various governments are saying, those people over there are bad. But that's the governments. But the people who are culturally different and have lived, you know, interlocked for, you know, a whole long time. I mean, well over a century. I think for the most part, it's kind of like, again, I don't have a problem with the Hispanic community next to me. You know, one of the things I do quite frequently when on the rare occasion when I go out to eat, which is virtually nothing, you know, but usually it's with Chris, and we frequently go to a Mexican place because it's good. And, you know, so same kind of thing there. And I wonder about the tension and how much reconciliation there will be. And so because one of the things that keeps people from reconciling is pride. So apply that locally. What's going to happen as, you know, the U.S. as the dominant player? Some will argue the G7, used to be the G8, but they kicked Russia out, so now the G7, whatever countries it is, is the, you know, those collectively is the significant percentage of the world economy. BRICS now, the primary five, is roughly equal and maybe exceeding the G7. Because in so many ways, the G7 is collapsing. Again, you know, collapsing a lot of it by inflation. And whereas, you know, this financial stability of especially Russia, China, and India is very strong. The West, well, they're having some problems, including the U.S. That's, you know, and the way we see it here in the U.S., especially, is inflation. But what will the culture be like for my kids? Because growing up in the idea that we're number one. And when it becomes obvious, for the most part, it's like saying, oh yeah, Ukraine is winning. We're blowing them away. You know, and it's a complete fallacy. You know, the deception there is just remarkable. What happens when you apply that same thing to like the economic stature of the U.S.? We're number one, and that'll probably be said and felt long after it's no longer true. And what will happen culturally when the U.S. Is not on top anymore? I really wonder, because, you know, I really wonder what's going to happen. I really think there's going to be a cultural impact. And when you add to that the culture degradation, you know, it's fascinating. One of the things I've heard some people talk. I heard an interview with a gentleman who was formerly more of a significant player, I think. I don't think he is anymore, in Russia. And it's a foreign minister, I think I heard, from South Africa, and one from, you know, Central African Republic, and both of them talked about the concern about what's happening on the world stage. Is we don't play that way because we follow Christian principles. You hear that from Russia, from a couple places in Africa. U.S.? No. We're woke. And that's the culture, Mike. You know... I was long fascinated many years ago where I heard a number of people in South Korea were sending missionaries to the U.S. because of the way the U.S. was collapsing on the form of Christianity. And I really wonder how much that's going to continue. And we'll see missionaries from like Russia and Africa come to the U.S. because we're collapsing. You know, I keep seeing a number of people attacking people for their stand on homosexuality or something of that nature, and people are backing down. Oh no, we're not that way. But again, it's the issue of not imposing. Anyway, I wonder about my kids, and I want to prepare them. And one of the things that's so important, I think, is this idea that we're called to proclaim and not impose. I really think it's a big deal. I really think it's a really, really big deal. You know, I won't go there. One other thing. I got pushed today. Basically, Chris said, all right, show some stuff. So, half hour later, an email, not fully functional, but the page, the site was set up for Chris using Shofar Nexus. And so I made a commitment that it should be functional by this weekend. And he says, you know, enough with this one more thing, polish this and polish it again kind of stuff. So I got pushed. And it's up, and the joy was in the process. Train, oh, there's a little error here, so I fixed that. And so it is my because so much of this is in place. It's just separate pieces. Now it's putting them together. And to my joy, a whole lot of that was done today. So my hope is this weekend I'll be going to a large number of people, a small number of people, maybe only half dozen to a dozen, and say, can I put up an account for you? And if you're willing to use it, you know, find people willing. If they say, oh yeah, I'll take one and won't use it, that's useless. But find some people and say, okay, let's do this. Now it's real. Because, you know, one of the things that I look at and I continue to refine this, because part of, again, it, simple and consistent, my tagline. I'm trying to put in the hands of somebody the ability to say, oh, I see what happened with this email, specifically all the traffic and whatnot. For 99% of people, that's probably useless. But the issue is, you know, the analogy I use is the grandmother and the high school kid. So grandmama has, oh, I have my email account. And the high school kid says, let me manage this for you, grandmama. Not some corporate player, because it's all within the family. So that the high school kid can protect the grandmother. Something about 1 Timothy 5, where the dad trains the kids to take care of their mom and grandmother. Well, that's the model. So somebody who has a little bit of inclination, it's not put in the hands of the corporate player, because the big issue that I'm fighting is the corporate players have the big, big, deep pockets, and they can give you stuff for free, but you're the product. And that is such a big deal, but nobody cares, few people care. Because look, I have this really cool screen and look at the pretty lights and wow, I got this feature and I want to get the latest apps. And they got you by the bits. Anyway, so Chris is live. I hope to have others by this weekend. And Lord willing, because, you know, it's the engine to drive other things. It would be wonderful if maybe one day somebody says, oh, the show for a book idea? Can I get a being part of that? Oh, that'd be magnificent. You know, I continue to say, and Chris knows, I'm looking for Charles, the placeholder name for somebody that I would work with who is at least somewhat technically adept. But the goal is Abdullah, again, placeholder name. All of this is, you know, to be a blessing to some people. Hopefully a lot of people, hopefully protect them, maybe save a life or two. Because, I mean, this is a serious game. But where my heart is, yeah, sure, the atheist, the Hindu, the Buddhist, whatnot. But where my heart is Abdullah. Someone who says, yes, I've done the Hajj. I really find this magnificent. And now, because I can privately, without being tracked by my own government, look to see it's not the Prophet Jesus, but the Lord Jesus, my Creator. If in the grace of God, it doesn't matter if I ever see him, meet him or whatnot in this life, or he's not even born yet, but if the Lord would grant me that joy. That would be my joy. That is my purpose. When I sit here, either alone with Chris or sometimes interactions with others, you know, and examine the scripture, and then the Lord in his grace opens the eyes to say, oh, there's even more magnificence in who Christ is, his grace, and the wonders of what's in the scripture. What a joy. I can't be the teacher, because we only have no teacher but the Lord. But in the Lord's grace, just like he used others to translate the Bible, maybe he can use me to give tools to somebody else. So they use the tools not to see me, but to see my Creator, see their Creator. What a joy. And get that intimate, wow, this is magnificent. I just don't want to do it alone. It's like, you know, it's not good for the man to be alone. Where have I read that before? Some book called Genesis or something of that nature. But the Lord granted me many, many years, a couple decades, of the joy of being able to look at the lady next to me and say, that's my lady. And I love her intensely to this day, even though it's been now over 3 decades. I haven't seen her in a decade. Dorothy Jean, my lady, I understand you hate me. That's clear. I love you, unquestionably. I love you and I want you back.